Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. Jerry Rice is one of the most prolific football players that's ever played the game. His records are so outstanding, they will probably never be touched in our lifetime. And many people wonder how he did it. But we've got the scoop for you coming up here. On Jerry's birthday, October 13th, we're going to celebrate number 80, the GOAT himself. Call coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another edition of Solo Time, where Darren Hayes, your host here, is going to talk about one of the legends of the game. And today, we're going to talk about a legend that no stranger to any of us. That's Jerry Rice. Now, Jerry Rice had a great career. Now, how does a kid from a tiny town of 600 people who stumbled into football by literally running away from his high school principal become a guy whose records are considered unbreakable? This isn't just a story about a great football player. It's a story about how Jerry Rice, the overlooked kid from Mississippi, became the undisputed GOAT. Now, he had a very unlikely beginning. The legend of Jerry Rice doesn't start under the bright lights of some football factory university. It begins in the quiet rural town of Crawford, Mississippi. Born to a brick mason, Jerry's world revolved around his hard labor, not organized sports. His now famous hands weren't molded by catching footballs. They were forged by catching bricks his father tossed to him on job sites. Dropping a brick had a real consequence. It had a daily drill installed, a kind of focus that would define his entire career. Football wasn't a passion project. It was by pure accident. The story, which has become part of his myth, is that Rice was cutting class when the school principal spotted him. As Jerry took off sprinting, the principal wasn't mad. He was impressed, so impressed that, in fact, instead of punishment, he offered him a spot on the football team. It was a twist of fate that would never completely alter sports history, but even after tearing it up, the B.L. Moore High School, his path to stardom wasn't anything but guaranteed. When it was time for college, a big Division I-A schools weren't exactly blowing up his phone. For a player who would one day own every major receiving record, his career started with one defining theme, being completely and utterly overlooked. With no major offers coming his way, Jerry Rice landed at Mississippi State Valley State, a small historically black college and university. And it was there, in the middle of the Mississippi Delta, that the quiet kid started making an unbelievable amount of noise. In his sophomore year, Rice was paired with a cannon-armed freshman quarterback named Willie Totten. Under a brilliant, pass-happy offensive coach, Archie the Gunslinger Cooley, they became one of the most lethal duels in college football history. What names they had there at Mississippi Valley State. They called their offense the Satellite Express. It was a revolutionary for its time, a no-huddle, all-out aerial assault designed to overwhelm defenses with pure speed and volume. Rice was the primary target, and the numbers they produced were just silly. In 1983, he led the entire nation with 102 catches for 1,450 yards, but that was just a preview. The very next year, in 1984, he shattered his own records, hauling in 103 passes for 1,682 yards and setting a new NCAA record across all divisions with 27 touchdowns in a single season. Mississippi Valley State was putting up over 59 points a game. Think about that for a second. Becoming a national spectacle. Rice was so dominant that he finished ninth in the Heisman Trophy voting, an almost unheard of feat for a player from a small Division I AA school. He left college with 18 NCAA records to his name and the nickname World, because there wasn't a ball in the world he couldn't catch. Still, the question lingered as the NFL draft approached. Was he a small school wonder, or was he the real deal? Now, despite his ridiculous college stats, many NFL scouts were skeptical. They knocked the level of competition that he faced. They picked apart his game film. But the biggest knock against him was his speed. His 40-yard dash time, reportedly around a pedestrian 4.7 seconds, was considered an average at best for a wide receiver. A lot of teams saw him as a risk, a guy who might not have the elite physical tools to cut it at the next level. But the legendary 49ers coach, Bill Walsh, the visionary, saw something different. A true offensive genius, Walsh wasn't just looking for a track star. He cared about precise routes, football IQ, and what a player did after the catch. He saw a player with a once-in-a-generation hands and an unstoppable drive. The Dallas Cowboys, America's teams, were eyeing Rice with the 17th pick. But Walsh and the 49ers, fresh off a Super Bowl victory, made a move. They traded up, snatching Rice with the 16th overall pick in the 1985 NFL draft, just one spot ahead of Dallas. His rookie season wasn't exactly smooth sailing. He struggled with drop passes while learning Walsh's complicated West Coast offense, making some wonder if the doubters had been right all along. But then something clicked. In a huge December game against the Los Angeles Rams, he absolutely exploded, grabbing 10 catches for 241 yards on the national television. It was his official coming out party. He finished his year with 927 yards and was named NFC Rookie of the Year. And the adjustment period was over. A dynasty was about to be built. For a second year on, Jerry Rice wasn't just a great receiver. He became a benchmark. In 1986, he led the league with a staggering 1,570 receiving yards and 15 touchdowns. It kicked off an unprecedented streak of 11 straight seasons with over 1,000 yards. The following year, during a 1987 season shortened just to 12 games by a player strike, he did something that seemed impossible. He scored 22 receiving touchdowns, a record that would last for two decades. He developed an almost psychic connection with quarterback Joe Montana, and together they became the engine of the 49ers dynasty. In Super Bowl XXIII, Rice put on one of the greatest performances in championship history, catching 11 passes for a Super Bowl record 215 yards and earning the game's most valuable player honors in a dramatic 20-16 win. The very next year, he helped them snag another ring, blowing out the Denver Broncos in Super Bowl XXIV. When Montana's time in San Francisco ended, the dominance didn't skip a beat. Another Hall of Fame quarterback, Steve Young, stepped in, and with his connection with Rice, who was just as electric as with Montana. With Young under center, Rice and the 49ers won a third Super Bowl in 6 years in 1994. A year later, in 1995, Rice delivered what many consider his masterpiece, a season where he set a then-NFL record with an incredible 1,848 receiving yards. He wasn't just a player anymore. He was an icon defining an entire era of football. Now, his work ethic was what really defined his legend. That the talent you get into the league, but with separates the good from the great and the great from the GOAT. For Jerry Rice, the answer was always his work. His work ethic wasn't just famous, it was mythological. You know, he lived by his mantra, "Today I will do what others won't, so tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't." Nowhere was this more obvious than on the hill. It was a brutal 2.5-mile trail near his home, and he ran it every single day in the offseason. He did it to ensure he was in better shape than any opponent he would ever line up against. He was a firm believer that games were won in the fourth quarter, right when the other guy was sucking wind and he was hitting his stride. And teammates and other pros would just try to join him, but most quit. Some got sick. But Rice was always there conquering that hill, building an engine that refused to quit. And it wasn't just an off-season thing. In practice, while other guys would jog back to the huddle, Rice would sprint to the end zone every single time. He treated practice like it was the Super Bowl, so the games themselves felt very easy. He was obsessed with perfection, from his route running to the strength of his hands. He famously said, "I'm not the most talented, I'm not the fastest, but I work the hardest." That relentless preparation was his real superpower. It was a foundation he built his entire career on. And what a career he had. After 16 legendary seasons in San Francisco, the 49ers decided to move on. But an age when most receivers are years into retirement, Rice wasn't done. He signed on with the then Oakland Raiders in 2001 and immediately proved that he was still an elite talent. In 2002, at 40 years old, he racked up over 1,200 yards receiving and helped lead the Raiders to an appearance in Super Bowl 37. He kept playing until his last game at the age of 42, finished his career with a brief stop in Seattle. He ultimately retired right before the 2005 season began, having played 20 seasons in the league. When he finally hung it up, his stat sheet looked like a typo. 1,549 receptions, 22,895 receiving yards, 197 receiving touchdowns, 208 total touchdowns, which included 10 on the ground. He wasn't just a number one in these categories. He was miles ahead. For some perspective, his career receiving yards is over 5,400 yards more than the next guy. That gap alone would be a Hall of Fame career. His 197 receiving touchdowns are 41 more than Randy Moss, who's in second place. And these aren't just records. They are monuments, widely considered the most unbreakable in all of sports. Now, Jerry Rice's spot at the top of the vast receiver mountain is secure, but it's always fun to argue. Let me know in the comments, who's on your Mount Rushmore of the NFL wide receivers? And if Jerry Rice isn't there, we need to talk. Thank you for joining us today. This has been your host, Darren Hayes, on Pigskin Dispatch. We hope you had a great time celebrating this great legend of the game, the greatest of all time, the GOAT of wide receivers, Jerry Rice, on his birthday here, October 13th. Hope you enjoyed this. Hope you tune back more for some more great football history on pigskindispatch.com, the YouTube channel, and the podcast. Till next time, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.